Doubting. Bleak. Jesus is dead. The third day, body gone. No one seen the Lord. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. The two of them are not apostles, but the them, as they are people who heard the report of Jesus' body being gone and the report of the angels from the grave, but they leave. The report is in Luke 24. The angels had said, "He is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." Now, Peter and John ran to the tomb, confirmed the story, but since no one had actually seen Jesus, these two disciples decided that they were going to go to Emmaus, probably their home. Show's over. It's all over. They leave and they're talking. They talked with each other about all the things that had happened. They're talking about it all. Jesus' death, their hopes, maybe even the hope of resurrection. But despite all their hopes and despite the news, they were still hanging in enough doubt that they decided to leave for home. Now, the high of Easter is sweet. And as we celebrate the empty tomb, Luke kind of leaves us in this place for a moment where we haven't seen Jesus' body. The disciples are all wrestling with this. And we get to sit in this moment for a little bit. And I think it's because he wants us to see something about how to deal with doubt and how to deal with the situation of, remember, he's writing right at the beginning of Luke, he's writing to Theophilus, how to deal with the situation of people like us who can't like go to the tomb. We have to listen to the reports of the women and other people. How do we deal with our doubts? How do you deal with it? You really want to believe, but you're just still hanging. Like, man, I'm just not so sure about all this kind of supernatural stuff. So today we're going to see four things to know or to do when you are in doubt. And keep a sharp lookout, because we're going to see them as we go. 15. While they were talking and discussing together, what's the difference between talking and discussing? Because in English, this comes off like they were talking, discussing, you know, they're having like a lively thing, but the word's a little bit more like, it's not quite argument, but it's really close to argument. It's not like they're upset, but they are having a lively discussion. And it's likely that one of them is kind of a little more convinced about Jesus being risen from the dead than the other, and they are debating this. And it's very ironic. Now, they're debating Jesus rising from the dead for what happens next. Because Jesus himself, drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And I can't imagine they're having this kind of loud discussion. And as they're having the loud discussion, someone, you know, if you ever have, you're having a discussion, someone kind of like creeps into the discussion. It can be a little weird sometimes. Sometimes a little fun. My wife is like, "You're the guy who creeps into the discussion. Why are you talking about?" Okay, I admit I have done this once or twice. Here, people are talking about something, maybe a religious topic, and be like, "Hey, do you want to hear about Jesus?" Now, as Jesus comes, Jesus is going to join with him. It says their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And this is really weird. It's like, why wouldn't, if Jesus wants to show that he's risen from the dead, why doesn't he want to like show himself to these people right away? And I think there's something here. It's something that happens throughout the Gospels, is that the disciples need to learn all of these things, but they don't need to learn it right away. They don't need to just be told all of this about Jesus. They have to learn it as they go. And sometimes I think in our lives, God works like this. That God, it's like the journey that we are not going to see everything we need to see about Jesus right away, because the struggle to learn, maybe even the struggle with doubt, is part of the process that God is using to make us strong. God has good purposes in keeping some things hidden from us for a time. And we don't see it. And if we knew the reason, we would be like keeping, because God keeps that from us as well. But he does it for our good. And he does it so we will see him rightly. It's interesting, this thing of keeping things hidden happens all along in the Gospel of Luke and in the Gospels. Jesus, when he first speaks of his death, let these words sink into your ears. The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men. But they did not understand the saying, and it was concealed from them so they might not perceive it. And they were afraid to ask him about this saying. Like, why does God want to kind of conceal this bit about exactly what he's doing? Oh, it doesn't say exactly. But in how everything works out, how God reveals it to them, makes them the apostles that change the world. And so sometimes we're sitting in this point in our life where we just like, why can't I see this picture? We have to trust that God has good purposes for this season we have now and keep taking the next step along the road. Trusting that God will reveal things in time. And this happens, like we know this happens if we're parents, we're parenting with children. And when the child's 6 years old, they're like, Mommy, where do babies come from? Now at that point, we're gonna give some answer, but we're not gonna give the most explicit answer we could, because we know that some things are best learned at the proper time. In the same way God works, keeps things hidden and shows us at the proper time how things work. Now first, Jesus asks some questions. And like all questions that Jesus asks, he kind of knows the answer, but he doesn't ask them for his own benefit. He asks for their benefit. Verse 17, and he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. You know, it's not often that the emotion of a situation just sort of leaps off the page in the Bible, but here's one that does. Because as soon as Jesus asks them this question, everything hits them. They just stop in their sadness because the reality of Jesus' betrayal from one of their own number, someone they knew, his beating, his death, his dead body buried in the tomb, all comes back to them in a moment. Like, I know this feeling. It's been a long time since this happened, but like most of you know, 18 years ago, my wife and I's first daughter, Emma, she died 12 days old, just tragedy, terrible situation, but it happens so often. In the next year, we'd meet some people and they would ask us, "So do you have any kids?" And then at that moment, like they were not prepared for the answer to this question. They were having like light getting to know you conversation. They were about to enter into like something entirely sad, because then we would have to tell them this whole story, which was really, it was like the cashier to check a line or something, but you know, every opportunity to get deep with people. Here in the same way, Jesus asks this question, which gets to the heart of the matter, of their sadness, of their doubt. Is Jesus really dead? Then one of them, named Cleopas, and the name here is probably important, probably because, like, Luke is the only gospel that has this story, because Luke is the guy who talked to Cleopas and got this story from him. That's what I think is most likely. Cleopas answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" Jesus' trial and death was big news. How could someone have missed it? And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people." Cleopas is a little timid here. After all, Jesus is more than a prophet, and he's going to get to the fact that he's more than a prophet later on. And yet, he does tell the truth, and we probably shouldn't be too hard on Cleopas here, because Jesus himself is going to reveal himself to him. He goes on telling the stories how our chief priests, he says, like, these were my guys. He's not talking about enemies here. Our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. And this kind of gets to the heart of what Jesus is revealing slowly about the necessity of his death on the cross. Because they had hoped that he would redeem Israel, but then he went and died on the cross, short-circuiting all this, missing the point that his dying on the cross is the very thing that redeems Israel. They had hoped that he would come on a white horse with a sword to conquer the Romans and set up a kingdom of everlasting kingdom of peace and prosperity. Now, their hopes are going to be fulfilled, but they just have to wait a lot longer than they were planning. But redemption was in the very thing that they were mourning. The redemption of Israel is in Jesus' death on the cross. But they just can't help continuing on the story. Said, "Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened." And I kind of wonder if, you know, they had Jesus' death and resurrecting kind of concealed from their minds. And yet this thing about the third day kind of sticks to them enough, because Jesus so many times talked about the third day. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Luke 13:32, "The third day I finish my course." And after flogging him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise. But they understood none of these things. The saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. Something about the third day stuck with them enough that they recalled it, that there was something important. And everything was hidden from them, and although they didn't expectantly wait, ironically, Jesus meets them in the least likely place when they're going home. And yet they do have some hope, because they continue the story. "Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning. When they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive." And this is a little bit like, I'm a little annoyed at them, because the women did not see a vision of angels. They saw angels, like men in dazzling clothes. But maybe they cast just a little bit of a doubt on it and be like, "Well, yeah, they talked about the story about how they saw like this vision of angels." No, they actually saw angels. Anyways, Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. And in the end, they end with this note of doubt. And it's so like amazingly ironic that they're like, we have all of these doubts about Jesus because nobody saw him raised from the dead while they are looking at Jesus, seeing it with their own eyes, but totally not seeing. There's probably a point to this, that some people can be presented, maybe even we can be presented with all of the evidence in the world that Jesus is alive. We can look right past a miracle and not see. As such it is when our eyes are not opened to what God is doing. Which, remember, you know, God does keep things hidden for good reasons. Our job as believers in Jesus Christ is to excitedly tell people crazy things. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. And many times people will think that we've just had visions. And yet we should pray at the same time for their eyes to be opened, because they could be looking at Jesus tomorrow and not see him unless their eyes are open to the truth. Now Jesus responds, and he responds in the weirdest way, because you would think at this moment, like they've told us that, like, well, nobody's seen Jesus. Like this is the moment, for the reveal. Like we know Jesus is here and we're just waiting for, you know, it's like we're watching a horror movie, like a Hitchcock film. We like know something bad is gonna happen. It's like, oh, there's a jump scare. And we're like waiting, like this is when Jesus is gonna reveal. But he doesn't say, hey, look at me, I'm Jesus, I'm right here, believe. You know, sometimes, so often in my life, I think about my doubts. I'm like, Jesus, like, do that. To be like, here I am, believe. Like, I want him to just, like, make me believe. And yet, so often he brings things slowly. And what he does here is he does not say, hey, look at me, the tomb is empty, I've risen from the dead. He does something very different. He said, oh, foolish ones and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. He doesn't say, hey, look at me, I rose from the dead, we can believe all this now. No, you should have believed it because you had God's word in your hands and you ignored what it really said. You had your own agendas about kingdoms and kicking out Romans, and you missed all of the point about the suffering servant. What do we do when we doubt? Jesus shows us something important here. It's like, don't just look to, like do not, okay, let's say, YouTube apologetics, fine. Apologetics books, fine. Don't run there first. Run to God's word first, because this is what Jesus does. He doesn't say just like, look and believe. He says, read the word, read the prophets. Look to the word when you have doubts and keep looking, because Jesus himself doesn't say, hey, look at me. He said, look to the word, look to the prophets. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Didn't they see Isaiah 53:3? He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And it's from one whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. It was predicted that the Christ would be a man of sorrows, rejected. By his stripes we were healed. The Davidic psalm, so often, again and again, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? How could they miss something so key? Oh, it's easy to get caught up in the grandeur and miss the suffering. Some people do the same thing about the Christian life today. Now, beginning with Moses, He's like walking along. He has every opportunity. Hey, look at me. He's like, okay, let's open up the scriptures. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures, in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Now, it's kind of fun. Like I kind of want Luke to be like, hey, Luke, could you just give us like the outline of this lesson? Like I would really like the outline of this lesson. But doesn't do that. Luke ends, he's going to end his gospel pretty soon with the invitation, hey, go look for yourself. Go open up Moses and the prophets and see who Christ is revealed in his word. You can take the testimony. I've given you all the testimony, but go back, check it in his word for yourself. Look to the word to remove doubts. Look to the word to remove doubts. Their minds were hardened, for to this day when they read the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Jesus said the Old Testament, the law and prophets are crucial to faith. In the same way, we need to look at these, but look at them through Jesus Christ. And he says, like, he himself is the key to understanding this. And like often, like we want to read the Bible chronologically, like we start in Genesis, we go to the end. But that's not how, like theologically, we understand the Old Testament. Every page through the lens of the finished work of Jesus Christ. We see what Christ does and it opens up the whole Bible to us. Because through Christ, the veil is taken away. And in the same way, we point to the scriptures to show the truth of the gospel. If we're speaking to someone, very often when we talk about the Christian life, we really want to like lean on our experience. Be like, hey, this is what Jesus has done for me. But Jesus, when he's here to remove doubt, he does not even point to himself in his resurrection. He points again to God's word, which is why we need to be pointing people back to God's word to read it. Now, it's very hard for someone who had no experience in Christian faith. But like you can pick up the book of Gospel of John with very few notes and just start reading and learn. Let God's word do its power. Okay, this is all on the road. And now we reach Emmaus. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further. Jesus, like, he always knows what's going on, so he's kind of acting a little bit always, but he's in the moment, and he's waiting for them to invite him in, which they do, but they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent, so the sun is getting close to going down, which will be important in a second, so he went in to stay with them, and when he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he vanished from their sight. It's funny, as soon as they see him and then boom, he's gone. So Jesus, he went and he reclined with a meal for them, and they offered him to bless the meal. Perhaps after him explaining the scriptures, they perceived him as some sort of grand teacher. And like so many times before, when he got up to feed the 5,000, when he sat down with the disciples on the Last Supper, he took the bread, he blessed, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. Now, I really want to read too much into this, and I'm going to, so keep going. In the breaking of bread, they get to know Jesus, and this gets kind of deep into the communal nature of the faith. So many people out there like to be the Christian by themselves. And be like, I know God, and like I'm doing okay. But we do not get to know Jesus except when we get to break bread with each other. We get invited into people's homes. We get to have care groups, seeing where people live. We're sharing our lives deeply. Jesus breaks bread, and then their eyes are open to who he is. And in the same way, when we invite people into our homes and lives, people get to see Christ. We experience Christ in community. And the second thing, and many people have pointed this out, and I think it has something we're going to see a little later, because they saw him in the breaking of bread, and a couple verses later, that this is in some way a new making of the Lord's Supper. Now he doesn't take the cup. There's no cup here. But remember, he said he wasn't going to drink it until it comes in his kingdom. So no cup here. But Jesus breaks the bread. And this kind of points to the blessing and breaking and sharing the bread, the communion meal that we still take part of. This is my body given for you. This is my blood poured out for you. And as we take it with faith, we have an experience of seeing Jesus. And this we kind of see that in worship, when we come together to celebrate Christ like we do today in the ways that he's commanded to us in song, in word, in sacrament, we see something of Jesus in this worship. And this gets to something when we have doubt. When we have doubt, we need to keep walking in community. You know, so often, like we there's two sides to this. There's like the doubter side, too often, like we like close ourselves off. And then on our side, like people who have confidence in this, we are too quick to kind of like people raise a doubt in the small group. We're like, we want to shut that down really quick. Like, no, like we want to listen because we want to help people experience Christ in community so we can walk together and work together through faith. Just how Jesus walked together on the road of Emmaus, explaining the Bible patiently to people who couldn't see him 3 feet from his face. People who were so blind who Jesus wasn't, and in our lives, we're talking with someone who's just blind to the truth of the gospel. We need to be patiently showing them in the Word of God all of this. And then in community, keep coming to worship God. Keep experiencing him in the cup and the bread. Keep on taking one more step. Because Luke is just waiting so long, because just in a little bit, we're not going to get there today, that like, boom, Jesus is going to show up. In the same way, we take one step in worship, one step in community, one day, like the veil is going to come off. You are going to experience Jesus. You are going to have your doubts removed. You are going to be brought into closer fellowship. All you need to do is keep taking one more step towards him. In his word, in community, in worship. Now, as soon as they see him as he is, poof, he's gone. It's like, I wonder what that's about. Like, again, I think what that's about is that immediately they go away from like, this isn't our experience. Immediately they get drawn back to God's word. They said, did our not hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? Remember how their eyes were just opened? Okay, it's the same word here. Opened up the scriptures, opened up their eyes. The same way Jesus like opened up their eyes, showed them who he was. He opened up the scriptures to reveal himself to them. Remember to look to the word. And now the hearts that were slow of heart to believe all the prophets had spoken are now burning with the living flame of the Spirit. God's word was alive to them. And we remember it was getting really late in the day, getting almost dark, 7 miles away, 7 miles, almost dark. But they are so excited that immediately, the same hour, they got up and they walked back to Jerusalem. Must have been close to midnight when they got back in. And they are so excited. They're so pumped. Like, they're so pumped to tell people about Jesus. And ironically, as they're so pumped to tell people about Jesus, they found the 11, probably less Thomas. And those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." So they're going to tell them, like, they've seen Jesus. But no, just wait. Like, Simon has seen Jesus. And by the testimony of two witnesses, every word is confirmed. And they rejoice. And very quickly, something better is going to happen. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. So I was thinking, I was hoping to read too much into it. And I think there's something there. The text is pointing to the breaking of bread as being important. Don't skip communion, eat with one another, have fellowship. Now, Jesus hides himself. He hides himself for so long. And if you're in a season right now where Jesus, he feels like he's just hidden behind a cloud. In every high and stormy gale, when you can't see Jesus, trust that God has good purposes in keeping some things hidden for you right now. In the kind of groping trust that you have to build to just reach out, God is working something good if you work in it. Look to the Word, Jesus himself, the revealed, resurrected Jesus. Like, look at the Word. Look to the Word. Keep experiencing Christ in community. Join a small group. Start having a prayer time. Like, this is a good way if you like find some Christian you like and just be like, hey, can we like get together for prayer like once a week? You're going to miss it like half the time. Don't worry. Just like keep, you know, getting up. And it's a great time. Build fellowship. And experience Christ in worship. Keep coming. Keep praying. Keep experiencing Christ in the gift of his table. In the gift of all that he has for you. And one day, the page will turn. Verse 36 will come. And Jesus will show up. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we just pray. I pray for every doubting soul that if we are in a season here where we just have to keep groping forward, we pray, Lord, that you would leave breadcrumbs to us that we can break bread, we can read your word, we can worship in community, trusting all along, knowing that you have good ways, and that when you reveal yourself to us, all will be good. All will be known. Every tear will be dried one day, and we will have fellowship with you. We pray, Lord God, show us to yourself in the ways that you have prepared. In Jesus' name, amen.